Daf Pei Gimel. We finished yesterday the Mishnah on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah talked about twin cups. You went and you shechted the carbon chatas, and you collected a couple of cups of blood. Guess it was a big animal. And the Mishnah talked about how related these two cups are. What kind of relationship do they have? So the Mishnah says, look, if you take one of the cups outside of the Beis HaMikdash and you're disqualified from being outside the Beis HaMikdash, that one cup is disqualified. The other cup is fine. The other cup remains intact, and you'll do the Zrika with the other cup. That's for sure. What if you take one of the cups into the Heichal? You take one of the cups into the Heichal, so Rav Yosef Aglili says, that's okay. It's the... that cup that you brought into the Heichal is disqualified. We'll talk today at length about this prohibition of bringing the blood into the Heichal, the blood of a chatas into a Heichal. You can't do that, but the other cup is fine. That's the opinion of Rav Yossi Aglili. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say that both cups are now going to be disqualified. Right? It's a tremendous chiddush. We'll talk today about the nature of this chiddush. It's a gzeiras hakasuv. It's not really based on any type of logic. According to the Gemara, it's based on Gzeiras HaKasuv, but it's tremendous chiddush. The idea that if I bring one of the cups inside, the other cups becomes disqualified. You know, they're intimately related, those two cups, where, you know, one nothing happened with one. You didn't do anything with one, and yet it becomes disqualified. Okay? So that is that's what we learned in the Mishnah. Rav Yossi in the Mishnah could not understand where this comes from. If you remember yesterday, Rav Yossi says it doesn't make any sense. If I ask you the question, what's more of a psul, what's more of a disqualification, outside or inside? Clearly outside, because we have this whole concept of pigol, which is when I shecht an animal, I think about how I'm going to eat it, chutzim kamo. Right? Outside is obviously a more disqualified place. And if outside, if I take one of the cups outside, it doesn't affect its twin. So if I bring one of the cups inside, you think it's going to affect its twin? And Rav Yossi Aglili just simply does not understand where this halacha comes from. We start with the Gemara today. We're in Pei Beis Amud Aleph, and we start immediately with the Gemara Tanya. And the Gemara here presents a braisa, and again, more discussion, more dialogue between Rav Yossi Aglili and the Chacham. Tanya Amar Rav Yossi Aglili Kavachomer. B'mam Uma B'makom Shemachshava Poselos B'chutz Opaso Dam. So again, we get to hear again the argument of Rav Yossi Aglili. Look, let's go to a place where machshav is posel, right? Where when you have an intention while you're shechting, it's posel, and that's chutz, and that's outside the azara. And meanwhile, lo pasel dam shebechutz shebifnim, if I have the twin cups, where I collected the blood of the dam chatzis and the twin cups, and I bring one of the cups outside. So that cup that I brought outside is going to be pasul. Good. But the cup that's still left inside is going to be kosher. So makom she'ein machshava posel bifnim, ein odin shelo yipasel dam shebifnim et shebechutz. So, and Rav Yossi Aglili says, now, let's go the other direction. Let's say one of the cups goes inside. Inside here means inside the heichal, inside the actual structure, the actual building. So there's no machshava. There's no such thing as I'm shechting it so that I'll eat the karban inside the heichal. That machshava doesn't exist. And now you want to tell me that if I bring one of the cups inside, its twin is going to be affected? So Rav Yossi, again, it's the same argument that we saw back in the Mishnah. And here in the Braisa, Amarlei, so here we get a response. In the Mishnah, we didn't get a response. You know, in the Mishnayos, we get limited dialogue between the Tanayim. Right, just snippets, really limited. In the Braisa, and certainly in the Medrash, there's a lot more Medrash Halacha, there's a lot more dialogue that takes place between the Tanaim. So here, Amar Lei, Harei Omer, Asher Yuvami Dama, Afilu Mixas Dama. Oh. So the Chachamim saying in response to Rav Yosef Aglili, look, your argument is fine, it's a fair argument, but we're not basing our Halacha on argument, we're basing it on Psukim. The Pasuk says, Vayikra, Perek Vav. We went through the Pesukim yesterday. Quickly to just cite it again. The V'chol achatas asher yuva midama el oal mawe lechaper bekodesh lo se'echel be'ish tisarei. The Pasuk says that if you bring the blood inside to the Heichal, the carbon chatas becomes disqualified. Right? Remember yesterday we saw the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, whether this applies to the Karban Chatzos or it applies to all Karbanos. Rabbi Kiva was of the opinion that it applies to all Karbanos. The Chachamim said, no, of course not. It applies only to the Chatzos. As the Torah says, it applies to the Chatzos. Okay, that was yesterday's daf. But meanwhile, however, the Torah says very clearly that if you bring the blood of a chatas into the heichal, you've disqualified the carbon chatas. Now, interestingly, the Torah says, v'chol ha-chatas asher yuva midama. You bring from its blood. So that means that even if you only bring a sample of the blood into the heichal, the carbon's going to get disqualified, and the other blood is going to get disqualified as well. Okay, so that's the response of the Chachamim back to Rav Yosef Aglili. Asher yuva mi dama, afilu mitzas dama. So amar lahem kavachomer liyotze. So now, so Rav Yosef Aglili says, now that we're here, so let's try to make a bunch of kavachomers. So now for the next, I'd say about 20 lines of Gemara, what the Gemara is now going to do is it's going to try to make various kavachomers based on what we've just learned. What have we just learned? That in the twin cups of the Karban Chatas, if I bring one of them inside, the other one becomes disqualified. And that's not true with Chutz. If I bring one of the twin cups outside, it doesn't disqualify its twin. So the Gemara says, Amalahem, based on all this, let's try to make a number of Kavachomers. Now, I'll tell you right from the get-go, all these Kavachomers are going to be sound in logic, but are not going to be accepted. None of these kavachomers are going to be accepted based on various psukim and drashas. Okay, but the Gemara now is going to try. So Amalem kavachomer liyotze me'ata umah b'makum shei machsheva posel bifnim posel dam shebifnim et shebechutz makum shei machsheva posel bechutz eino din sheyifasel dam shebechutz et shebifnim. So now that we've established that if I bring one of the cups into the Beis HaMikdash, its twin becomes disqualified. So can't you make a very reasonable argument that if I bring one of the cups outside the Beis HaMikdash, its twin will be disqualified? And the Kavachom is based on the fact, as we've said already, that Chutz is a more disqualified place than Panim. Because Chutz is where you have the Machshav of Pigel. Panim is where you don't have a Machshav of Pigel. So Amar lo, Harei Omer Asher Yuva, Hanichnas Posel Ve'ina Yotzei Posel. Yeah. Again, good kavachomer, I'm rejecting it based on the psukim. Because the pasuk says, asher yuva, you bring it inside, hanichnas posel ve'inayotze posel. The only time that the twin pairing becomes posel is if I bring its twin inside, not outside. Utehei machshava bifnim posels mikavachomer. Now the Gemara says, again, we're going to try again to establish another kavachomer. And this kavachomer is going to actually be an attempt of a kavachomer on the Isser of Pigel itself. Now, Pigel, as we know, not Chutzim Mano, right? We're talking now about Chutzim Kamo, right? Eating a carbon outside of its prescribed place. We know, we've learned already a number of times throughout this Masechta, that when I shech the carbon and I say that I plan on eating this carbon outside the prescribed place, and I do all the other avodas, Kim Mitzvah San, I do all the other avodas correctly, I've established this carbon to be a disqualified carbon. It's puzzle. It's disqualified. So we know that that's true when I have a machshav of chutzim kamo, meaning outside the Beis HaMikdash. How about if I have a machshava of eating it in the heichal, in the building itself, which is not a place that we should be eating it? But what if I have that machshava? V'tehe machshavif nimposelas. So the Gemara says, now let's make a kavachomer that machshava panim will be posel mikavachomer. And what's the kavachomer? And it's, again, very sound logic. Uma b'makom shelo posel dam shebechutz shebefnim machshava poseles bachutz makom sheposel shebefnim et dam shebechutz eino din shetehe machshava poseles befnim. Yeah, right? We've just learned that outside has a leniency over inside. Because inside, I bring one of the two cups inside, its twin becomes disqualified. I bring one of the cups outside, its twin does not become disqualified. And meanwhile, in the world of Pigel, if I have a machshava to eat it outside, no good. I've disqualified the carbon. So can't you think now, can't you reason that if I have a machshava to eat it inside, which you see through the halacha of the twin cups, is a more is a more chumer place, is a more severe place. It has more severe repercussions in the world of bringing one cup in, its chwin becomes disqualified. So the Gemara says, so can't we now reason that pigol is going to, the chusum koma machshava would apply even if I think about eating it in the heichal? Harei Omer b'yom hashlishi makom shei mishulash bedam bebasar beimurim. We've seen this earlier in the Masechta. No, the machshava of chusum koma doesn't apply to the heichal, but it's a technicality. The Torah says b'yom hashlishi. This is really. This is a drasha. This is in the world of drush, right? Where the Torah says b'yom hashlishi, the pshat of the pasuk is I'm eating it on the. I think about how I'm going to eat it on the third day because we're talking about a shlamim. Right? The Torah gives us a halach of pigol in the world of shlamim, which is a 2-day karban. I think about how I'm going to eat it on the third day. But the Gemara darshins b'yom hashlishi could also mean malkum shei mishulash b'dam b'basa b'imurim, a place where it's fit for three things. Shlishi, three things. Dam, basar, imorim. The azara, the temple courtyard. Dam, right, that's where the blood is sprinkled. Basar, that's where I eat it. And imorim, and the inner parts of the karban, which are offered up. You don't have inside the heichal, and by the way, outside also, basar, dam, imorim, in a time when bamas were permitted. Inside the heichal, inside the actual building itself, you don't have dam, basar, imorim. So it's a technicality. It's just simply not a place where you could have a machshava of chutzim kama. Fine. One more of these kavachomers. Velotehe machshava posels b'chutz. Now here, it's this kavachomer is going to be strange. Because now the Gemara is going to want to argue, well, maybe there's no machshava chutzim kama outside. Right? Which, of course, in other words, if you just stop and think about it for a moment, now the Gemara is arguing there's no chutzim koma machshava outside, so where would there be a chutzim koma machshava? All right, so you know it's going to get rejected, but just in of itself, a self-standing argument, again, it's reasonable. Lo te machshava posels b'chutz mikav achomer. Uma malkum shepasol dam shebifnim et shebichutz ein machshava posels b'fnim. So look, we've just established that you don't have a machshava chutzim kamo in the heichal. When I shech the carbon and I say to myself, oh wow, I can't wait till I eat the carbon in the heichal, that doesn't disqualify the animal. That's not a machshava of chutzim kamo. And meanwhile, that's a more chumer place because if I bring one cup of blood inside, it disqualifies its twin. Makom shelo pasul dam shebichutz et shebifnim, eino din shelo yeh pasul machshava bichutz. So, let's go the other direction. So now let's go to the outside. Outside's not so bad, because if I bring one cup outside, its chwin doesn't become disqualified. It's a more lenient place, it's a more relaxed place. So the Gemara says, so if I have a machshava of that place, which is chutz, right, the outside the base, the mikdash, you don't think it's not going to affect pigol? So again, the Gemara says, yeah, beautiful kavachomer, but the Torah tells us there's this ister called chutzim kamo. So again, we're not going to go anywhere with that kavachomer as well. Fine. All right. Period. That was three attempts at a kavachomer. The Gemara rejected all three kavachomers based on psukim, based on drashas. Okay. Basar yotzei lechutz pasul. Hanichnas lufnim kasher. All right, look. We know that you bring the meat outside the azara if it's a chatas, so we know that it's done. The meat's disqualified. It's a psul yotzei. Hanichnas lifnim kasher. Now, if you take the meat of a basar chatas and you bring it into the heichal, you bring it into the building, to the actual base of mikdash, so shouldn't be eaten there. It doesn't disqualify the karban. Now, shehei bedin shepasul. Now again, logically, I would say for sure it's pasul, because one more time we're going to compare outside to inside. Look, outside is a more relaxed place. How do I know outside is more relaxed than inside? Because of the halacha of the twin cups. In the world of twin cups, bringing one cup outside doesn't disqualify its friend. Bringing one cup inside does disqualify its friend. So she
doesn't make a difference.
No, the zrika is a damter place.
Every everything's fine.
Shehei b'din shepasol ma'ba makum shlo pasol dam shebechutz shebefnim basar hayotze lechutz pasol makum shepasol dam shebefnim shebechutz basar nechnas befnim ein odin sheyifsol.
So the Gemara says, okay, once we know the halacha of the twin cups, so now it gives us room to make these types of kavachomers.
Bringing meat outside disqualifies, and outside is such it's an easier going place. Outside doesn't disqualify the twin cup, right? So if I bring meat inside, which is not a relaxed place, because if I bring a cup inside, it disqualifies its twin. So don't you think bringing the meat of a carbon inside is going to disqualify that meat?
Hari omer midama dama v'lo basar.
So the Gemara says midama. Oh, so again, gzeras hakasav. This disqualification of bringing something inside is only for blood, not for meat.
Kavachomer miato maba makum shepasol dam shebefnim eshebechutz basar hanichnas lifnim kasher makum shelo pasol dam shebechutz eshebefnim basar yotze lechutz eino din shekasher.
So the Gemara now is going to go the other direction. Now you're telling me that bringing meat inside the heichal will not disqualify the meat. So the Gemara says, wait a second. The inside is a less relaxed place, and we, again, going back to the halacha of the twin cups. So if bringing meat inside the heichal doesn't disqualify it, can't you make an argument that bringing meat outside also doesn't disqualify it? And again, with this kavachomer, the Gemara is uprooting the whole psul of Yotzei, right? It's just strange that the Gemara is, you know, navigating its way through kavachomers and arriving at conclusions, which was really just, you know, taking away Isurim in the Torah.
Hareyu omer uvasar basad de trefa lo sochelu.
So the Gemara says, no, because we have this pasuk, this concept of basar basad de trefa lo sochelu, kevin sheyatsa basar chutza mechitza so, ne'esar. Once meat goes out of its walls, I'll explain that better in just a moment, so it becomes asar. In other words, no, we have this psul called Yotzei. And the psul of Yotzei is the psul. So even though logically, yes, you could present to me an argument, a nice argument, a sound argument, that really if meat's taken outside, it shouldn't be disqualified. Meat brought inside the building, the heichal, isn't disqualified. Kal v'chomer, meat brought outside the azara shouldn't be disqualified. True, that is a sound argument, but no, we have this pasuk. Now, you're going to see a lot of this drasha here in Zvachim, and you're going to see it again in Chulin. This basar basad de trefa lo sochelu, right? Literally, the pasuk means that once meat becomes trefa, you can't eat it. But the Gemara darshins this pasuk in a number of unusual ways. The pasuk reads basar basad de trefa, meat that's out in the field, which is trefa lo sochelu. What does that mean? Meat out in the field, right? It's a strange formulation of the pasuk. So one drasha, which is right over here, is the drasha that, look, if you have a certain parameter of where the meat needs to be contained, and that meat leaves the parameters, it's deemed as a trefa, right? It's what we call in our colloquial, it's treif, right? You can't eat it. When you have a carbon chatas, right? That's what we're talking about. So its parameters are the walls of the azara. Once the meat is taken outside the walls of the Azara, it's treif. It's no good. Well, it's what we call psul yotze. I'll give you another strange halacha. Not strange, right? Halacha is halacha. But another unusual permutation of this law of something leaving its parameters. Right? The Gemara in Chulin. Well, when we get to Chulin shortly, we'll see this inside. The Gemara over there says that, you know, if you shecht an animal and it has a fetus in utero, so you're allowed to eat the fetus, right? That's a fetus is part of the animal, and the shechting of the animal helps for the fetus. What if while you shechted the animal, it's a bizarre scenario, but what if you shechted the animal, the fetus, right, has extended one of its limbs outside of the mother, right, a leg or right an arm, right? It's an animal, right? One of its legs left the animal. So the Gemara in Chulin says, from this pasuk, ubasar basada trefa lo sochelu, meaning as long as the fetus is in utero, inside the mother, so then the shechting of the mother will help the fetus. Once it's left its walls, it's left its parameter, so that leg that went outside will not become mutter, with the shechita of the mother. And the Gemara over there says what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to basically, after you shecht on the mother, basically segment the fetus. The part that was outside, you've got to cut it off. The part that remains inside remains permissible. All right.
So if an animal is in a pen and it gets attacked, it's in the pen where it's supposed
But the pen is not a halachic parameter. When we say parameter over here, we're talking about some sort of halachic fence. Meaning in the Beis HaMikdash, the chatas, the azara is that halachic wall. You have to eat it within the azara. Okay, fine. Tanu Rabbanan. All right. We're going to spend the rest of the perek talking about this isser of bringing blood inside. The pasuk is pretty clear. Okay. Any chatas where the blood is brought in, okay? That's the pasuk that we've been dealing with. Also, Perek Yud. Also Perek Yud. Again, Perek Yud takes us to that big machlokas between Aaron and Moshe, right? Where it was the first day of Nisan. It was the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan. It was the day that Nadav and Avihu died. There was a lot going on that day. And what ended up happening on that day is that there was a Se'ira Chatas, one of the Chatas goats, which should have been eaten by the Kohanim. In this case, we're talking obviously about Aaron. Darosh Darash Moshe V'hinei Sorach. And it turns out that it was burnt. They didn't eat the carbon Chatas on that day. And Moshe gets mad at the sons of Elazar and Isamar. You know, he was really mad at Aaron, but you know, this was just a kind of a way to temper. I don't understand. Why didn't you eat the chatas? Right? You know, part of eating the carbon chatas is to provide atonement. Meaning the carbon itself provides atonement. The Kohanim eating the carbon is also part of that atonement. L'chaper alem ufnei Hashem. Hein lo huva es dama el hakodesh pinima. And Moshe's trying to understand. Like, in other words, Moshe's saying to them, literally, this is just simple pshat in the psukim. Moshe's saying to them, I don't understand. Like, if the blood of the carbon chatas was brought into the Olam Moed, so then yeah, I would understand. So then you're justified in burning the chatas because it's a disqualified chatas. But that didn't happen. Right? Lo huva is damala kodesh penima ochal tochlosa b'kodesh kasher tzivesi. So you should have eaten it like I instructed to you. I don't get it. Vayidaber Aaron al Moshe hein hayom yikru v'schatasam v'solasam v'fnei Hashem v'tikrenu si ka'ele v'chalti chatas hayom ha'yita b'nei Hashem v'yishma Moshe v'yita b'neav. And Aaron gives an answer, and not for now, where Aaron does explain to Moshe why they didn't eat the carbon chatas, and not for now in terms of Aaron's explanation. Yeah. But you, again, another pasuk that speaks to this idea that if the blood of the carbon chatas were brought into the heichal, so then the carbon becomes disqualified. Okay? So we find this prohibition of the Torah, this disqualification, in two places. We find it in Parshat Tzav, where the Torah says it straight out, right? Chol chatas asher yuvah midamah l'ol moed l'chaper b'kodesh lo se'achel v'eshti sereif. And we find it in Parshat Shmini, specifically by the dialogue between Moshe and Aaron. Okay. The Gemara over here darshins. Tanu Rabbanan Penima Ein Li Ela Penima. It says when Moshe talks to Aaron, he says Lo Huvaz Dama Ela Kodesh Penima. You didn't bring it into the Kodesh, into the interior of the Kodesh. What is that talking about? Right? So we're talking, presumably we're talking about the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? The inner sanctuary, the place where the Aron resides. So Heichal Minayin. So how do I know that if I bring the blood, not into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, just into Kodesh, just into the Heichal, the Chatos becomes disqualified? Tamalomer Ela Kodesh Pinima. The Pasuk says Ela Kodesh. Kodesh is referencing the actual Heichal itself. So Vayomer Kodesh Va'al Yomar Pinima. So the Gemara now says, you know, if I bring the blood into the Heichal, the Karban Chatos becomes disqualified. You don't think I'll know that if I bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's going to be disqualified? So I'm a Rava, Bazev, Alimed Alzeh. So Rava says, well, look, Kodesh and Pinima are not specific terms. They're not accurate terms. Kodesh just simply tells me I bring it into a holy place. Pinima just tells me I bring it into the interior. Once I have the two words together, I know. Kodesh is reference to the Heichal, the actual building itself, and Pinima is Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay? You know what? We have this idea before, where the Torah gives us one term to help us understand another term. Mida dehavi atoshav esachir detanya. We learned in a braitha, toshav zekanu kinyan olam, sachir zekanu kinyan shanim. You know that when the Kohen is allowed to feed his truma to his wife, allowed to feed truma to his slave, right? But it has to be, interestingly enough, it has to be his Eved Kenani. Right? The Torah says when the Kohen has a right to feed, it's Kinyan Kaspo, something that he has acquired. Right? So his wife he can give Truma to, his Eved Kenani can give Truma to. Interestingly enough, Eved Ivri, right? Last week's Parsha, can't give it to his Eved Ivri. Can't feed Truma to his Eved Ivri. Why? He doesn't own his Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is an indentured servant. He's an employee. Happens to be an employee who can't get out of his employment, right? sounds like a slave, but it's not. It's not a slave. First of all, the Eved Ivri is still, for all intents and purposes, a Jew, right? All the status of a Jew, right? Not a slave. So Ditanya Toshav Zekanu King and the Torah. I'm sorry. Just one other word before we go on with this. The Torah, in describing this Eved Ivri, the Torah says Toshav and Sachir. Right? Those are the two terms that the Torah says. Meaning, when you're a Kohen and you have Truma, you can't give it to your Toshav and you can't give it to your Sachir. So who's that referring to? So now the Braisa here explains, and we're only bringing this in over here. Obviously, this is a tangent. We're bringing this in over here because we're showing a place where one word helps us define what the other word is. Toshav Zekanu Kinyan Olam. Toshav, that's Kinyan Olam. Right, that's the Eved Ivri who says to his master, "I really like it here. You're right. A haftias adoni. I like my Eved Ivri lifestyle. It's good. and so he gets piercing. He gets an ear piercing, and he stays with him la olam. He stays with him forever. Although you and I know forever means up until Yovel. But still, it's 50 years. It's a long time. I know it doesn't have to be 50 years, but still, it's a long time. Zekanu kinyan olam." Sachir Zekanu Kinyan Shanim. And Sachir means your regular Eved Ivri only works for 6 years. Yomar Toshav Al Yomar Sachir Le'ani Omer. Look, and now the Braisa says, all you had to do was just tell me Toshav, and you didn't have to tell me Sachir. Ve'ani Omer. Kanu Kinyan Olam Eino Ochel. Kanu Kinyan Shanim Lo Kol Shekein. If the 50-year servant doesn't get to eat Truma, and you want to talk about somebody who's with the coin for a long time. If he doesn't get to eat Truma, you don't think the six-year worker also doesn't get to eat Truma? Meaning he's even less connected to the Kohen. So Ilu Kain Hayisi Omer, the Gemara says, that, again, this is all still the Braisa, if that would have been the case, Toshav Zekanu Kinyan Shanim, Avakanu Kinyan Olam Yehei Ochel. If the Torah only would have given me one of those ambiguous terms, either Toshav or Sachir, I would have said, oh, you know what Toshav means? The six-year worker. But the 50-year worker, the 50-year Eved Ivri, he does get to eat Truma, because look, he's with him forever. So Baschir Velimed Al Toshav. So Schir tells me what Toshav means. Meaning Schir is a temp, right? The 6-year guy. Toshav must be the 50-year guy. Shezekanu kinyan olam, vezekanu kinyan shanim. Ve'enu ochel. Fine. Amalei Abaye. So period. So, and the Gemara is just using that to show us the Torah does that. The Torah will give us two terms, one to tell us what the other term really means. Toshav is sachir. Here also, kodesh penima. If I only had one of those terms, I wouldn't necessarily have known which is the Heichal and which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kodesh Penima tells me Kodesh is Heichal, larger area, Penima is Kodesh Kadoshim. Okay, the Gemara says still, I'm not totally sold on all this. Amalei Abaye Bishlam Mahasam Trey Gufe Ninu. Look, over there by my Toshav Sachir example, Trey Gufe Ninu. Those are two different types of people. And look, and you know the Torah could have done this. You know the Torah could have just simply said, instead of using ambiguous terms like Toshav and Sachir, the Torah could have just simply said Nirtza. Nirtza. Nirtza means the Eved Ivri who got his ear pierced. That's not an ambiguous term. That's the Torah could have done. You know the Torah could have done that. And Lo Yochal. And the Idach Asi B'Kav HaChomer. And I would have learned the other term. Forget other term. And the other guy, meaning your 6-year worker, that's a simple Kav HaChomer. If your pierced ear 50-year Eved Ivri can't eat Shruma, so you don't think your temporary 6-year Eved Ivri can eat Shruma? So Milsa Dasi B'Kav HaChomer Tarech V'Kasav Leikra. And the Gemara has this concept which it hits again and again, that yes, the Torah could have made such a Kav HaChomer for us, allowed us to have such a Kav HaChomer, but Milsa Dasi B'Kav HaChomer Tarech V'Kasav Leikra. Even those things which we could have derived from a Kav HaChomer, sometimes the Torah wants to go out of its way to tell us. Okay, I don't fully understand the concept. I don't know why it is that the Torah goes out of its way sometimes to tell us things that we could have derived through Kav HaChomer. But again, it's a very common concept that comes up in the Gemara. Elahacha. But over here, Kevin de Ifso Behechal, Lifnai Velifnim, my Baye. But over here, it's just a logistic issue. Meaning, once it's disqualified in the Heichal, of course it's going to be disqualified in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The only way to get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim is through the Heichal. So the Gemara says, so it's a little bit strange. Over here, logistically speaking, how are you getting to the Kodesh HaKadoshim without having gone through the Heichal? So Amar Abai lo nitzucha ela l'derech mishupash. Abai says, that doesn't bother me so much. You can go in derech mishupash. We don't have that word that often in the Gemara. In a Rashi says, through the rooftop. Where's Rashi? High panima ela derech mishupash lo kedarka derech gagan ve'alios beis hamikdash belulin. Right, go through the rooftop. Go through there are ways. There are shortcuts in the Beis Hamikdash to get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim without having to go through the Heichal. So Amalei Rava Vaha Baksiv Bay. Rava says, you may be right, but still the Torah says Lo Huva Es Dama. Huva means entrance. We're talking about going in through the regular entrance. El Amarava, so Rava has an interesting halacha. Interesting. Rava says, let's say you're holding the blood of the Chatas, and your intent is to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's your intent. If you take the blood and you go into the Heichal, and then you say, you know what? I'm not going to go through with it. And you reverse and you go out, even though you took the blood into the Heichal, you've not disqualified the Chatas. So interesting, right? I'm not, right. And the reason why he says that is because the Torah compartmentalizes. The Torah refers to Kodesh and Penima as two separate compartments. And what bothered us is, I understand, how are you getting to the Kodesh and Kedoshim? Why does the Torah need to compartmentalize? And now Rav is giving us a reason. It's a tremendous chiddush. Rav is telling us it's compartmentalized because if my intent is to go into Kodesh and Kedoshim and I only go into Heichal, I don't disqualify. Okay. And Rava says that's the story. Okay, a little bit more now about this, about the Dam Chatas that's brought inside. By Rava. Rava has the following question. Par Helam Davar Shol Tzibur, V'Siyer Avodas Kochavim. Now we know these are the Chatas HaPenimios, the inner Chatos, where I take the blood and I bring it inside. So in other words, here, I'm supposed to bring the blood inside, right? That's part of the Avoda, of these karbanas. By the way, Rabbi Tershel, I was thinking yesterday about your point, meaning we were discussing yesterday the Rabbi Akiva Chachamim Machlokes, right? According to Rabbi Akiva, it applies to all karbanos. And I pointed out the difficulty, I mean, I didn't point it out, the Gemara did, where the Torah says it applies only to Chatas. And you said yesterday, well, it does make, Rabbi Akiva does make sense because we never see, right, Psul Yotzei only applied to one, and you defended Rabbi Akiva. I was thinking yesterday that maybe the Yisr only applies to Karban Chatas because it's the only Karban of all Karbanos, am I saying is correct, where you do have times where the blood is brought into the Heichal, notably the Chatos HaPnimios. So maybe it's like the Torah's way of saying sometimes you're allowed to bring the blood inside, but most of the time you're not allowed to bring the blood inside. Well, wait a second. By Yom Kippur, the par is not a chatas, right? The par of the Kohen Gadol. Right, there are two parim brought by the Kohen. Okay. But the par that he brings in is a chatas?
For himself, right?
The seer for sure is a chatas, that we know. The par, I think the par lechatas. Okay, right. Okay, fine. Right. Okay, good. Okay, so maybe that's what's behind it. Okay. Anyway, by Rava, par helam davar shol sibar v'sir avos kochav shehichnas damam lefnai v'lefnim. So let's say you have the blood of the par helam davar shol sibar and the par of Avodah Zarah, where you're supposed to bring that blood into the Heichal. Okay, good. So there, it certainly doesn't disqualify the carbon because that's what you're supposed to do. But let's imagine you take that blood and you bring it into Kodesh HaKadoshim. Oh. So the Rava's question is essentially like this. I brought it into the Heichal, which I have allowance. Does that continue to give me allowance to bring it even further interior? Meaning, look, remember what Rava just did. He compartmentalized Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now Rava basically wants to know, what if I bring those bloods into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So, Mahu, mi amrina en ela Kodesh Penima, kol hecha de karina en ela Kodesh, karina le Penima, kol hecha de lo karina be ela Kodesh, lo karina Penima. Once these bloods are allowed to brought into the Heichal, it's not like I'm allowed to bring it into Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rava's not saying that. But the disqualification, bringing it into Kodesh HaKadoshim, and his first attempt of argument is, it's not going to disqualify the animal. Because once I have an allowance, so you see, bringing it inside doesn't disqualify. Oh, Dilma, no. Shalom ben Kamamhu. Or maybe not the appropriate place. Once I bring it interior to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I brought it to a place that's not appropriate, therefore disqualified. Im Tim Salomar, now Rava doesn't give an answer, but assumes Im Tim Salomar Shalom Im Kamam Hu. Okay, so you know what? It's not appropriate. Fine. And therefore it's going to disqualify. So Parvasir Shal Yama Kippurim, Shehizamidamam Alabadim, Vahutsian Lehechal Vehechnisan, Mahu. How about this? The parnsir of Yom Kippur. Now, I'm allowed to bring those bloods into the Kodesh Kedashim. Again, more than allowed. Mitzvah, you're supposed to bring into the Kodesh Kedashim. What if I do this? What if I bring it into Kodesh Kedashim, as per the mitzvah, sprinkle, go out, and then bring it back again? Okay? So, in other words, is this disqualification of bringing the blood in, once that place has been designated as a good place, as a place where I can bring it in, does that mean that if I bring it back in again, it's okay?
How is that different from taking blood out of any kind of blood offering, even
because
if you take it out, it's invalidated.
No, because by the chatas, bringing it into the heichal, bringing it to Kodesh HaKadoshim, disqualifies the carbon chatas. So here, you had an allowance, and basically what Rav is asking is it a one-time allowance or no? By the carbonus of Yom Kippur, you're free and clear. That area becomes free and clear. So she's on me. Damam ala paim ve'otzi aleichav ve'echnisa mau. Miyam mina makomam hu odema hov enafik nafik. Or no? Do we say once you bring it out, that's it? Now that area, the Kodesh HaKadoshim area, now becomes off limits. And if you bring it inside again, disqualified. The imtim salamar hol v'nafik nafik. And again, assuming that that's it. Once you bring it out, that's no good. Hizami damam al parochas v'otzilam is beach v'echnisan mahu. What if you sprinkle onto the parochas, you take it out, and you go back into the heichal? Mahu hacha vade chan makam hu odilma yitzia karinan bay. So the Gemara says, do we view that as the yitzia, as a total exit, and therefore bringing it back in again will disqualify it? On this last point, take the Gemara leaves it unresolved. I mentioned this before. When the Gemara does this, what the Gemara has just done is it presented a series of questions back to back to back. Each question builds on the previous question, assuming a certain position. The Rambam always maintains that whatever the Gemara assumes working forward is the accepted halacha. Like, so for example, you're going to find over here, like the Rambam, right, paskins that if you take the Chatas HaPnimiyos bloods and you bring it into the Kodesh Kedoshim, that's no good. It disqualifies it. If you take the Yom Kippur blood and you bring it into the Kodesh Kedoshim, take it out and bring it back in again, it's no good. Because what the Gemara did is it built a whole series of questions built on assumptions, and the Rambam assumes that every time the Gemara makes an assumption, it means that's the halacha. Okay. Nichnas lechaper. One little bit until we finish the parak. Tanya. Now remember, we are on the discussion now of bringing the blood of a outer chatas into the heichal. Okay, we're done with the chatas panimius. We're done with the Yom Kippur blood. We're now talking about a standard outer chatas blood. Bringing it inside to the heichal disqualifies. Now you remember, go back to the mission that we did yesterday, the end of yesterday's daf, machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar, what does it mean bring the blood inside? So, nichnas lechaper af apishlo keeper pasul divrei Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says, just bringing it inside, that's it, done, disqualified. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, ad shiyichaper. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, you have to be mechaper. You have to do some sort of application inside the heichal. And then there's the third opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, which we'll get to in just a moment. The pasuk, yeah. Look, we have two places where it's discussed. The Moshe Aaron pasukim. It sounds like you just bring it in and that's it, right? Hein lo huva es dama. That sounds like just bringing it in is all you need to do to wreck it. So the Gemara is going to discuss. But that's a chutzpah. That's a psul yotze. That's not the. That's not nechnas.
Why is
that? It's
so this sounds like outside.
That's talking outside. The two psukim is the shmini pasuk with Moshe and Aaron, and the other one was inside the end of Perek Vav. Okay. So, right, v'chochatos asher yuvah midama olamoid lechaper. Okay, so again, the Gemara is going to go through both tzadim. Okay, bottom of the amud. Sorry, top of the amud. Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Omer, nemer kan lechaper bekodesh v'nemer la'alam v'chol adam lo yeba olamoid bevo lechaper bekodesh malahalam b'shlo kiper avkan b'shlo kiper. Rabbi Elazar makes a connection, I guess we'll call it Gzeir Shav, it certainly sounds that way, between this and the Avodah of Yom Kippur. You know, right, can you go into the Beis HaMikdash? I mean, I'm not talking about the courtyard, I'm talking about the actual Beis HaMikdash itself. Generally, yes. Right, shouldn't, meaning it's a Makom Kadosh, right, just randomly to go inside, shouldn't. But there's no Isser to walk into the Beis HaMikdash. On Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodah, there's an Isser. The Torah says, "Lo yavo chol adam lo yiyeh ba'olamoid bavo lechaper b'kodesh." When Aaron HaKohen, or the Kohen Gadol at the time, is doing his work on Yom Kippur, no one else is allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash. There's an Isser. Now there, what's the Isser? Being. That's it. The Isser over there is just being. You can't be in the Beis HaMikdash. So even though the Torah uses the word lechaper, so Rabbi Eliezer says, same thing over here. When you bring the blood of a chatas, being, Just the blood being in the heichal is all you need to do.
So, what's he got? 100-foot rope tied to his leg?
Yeah, right. Remember, they tied something to him just in case, and yes, it was a long rope. So keep it. Shalom, keep it. Rabbi Shimon Omer Nemer Kan Lechaper VeNemer LaHalam VeSparach Chatas VeSiyar Chatas Asher Huvaz Damam Lechaper Ma LaHalam VeShekeeper Avkan VeShekeeper. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, I'll make a Gzer Shavod, but I'll make it to a different location. Parachatas Siirachatas Asher Huva Es Damam Lechaper. The Torah says, when you bring the blood of the Siir and the Par of Yom Kippur, you do applications inside. On the paroches, on the mizbeach hazahav, in the kodesh hakadoshim, there it's kapara, meaning real application. Here also, in order to invalidate an outer chatas, you need applications. By my kamiflagi, and the gemara says, what's that? The core of the machlokas over here, mar savar dan chutz mechutz vein dan chutz mebifnim. Look, the first opinion, Rabbi Lazar says, you can't learn from the avod of Yom Kippur; those are inner chatos. We're talking about the disqualification of outer chatos, and you want to derive it based on psukim about Yom Kippur and the inner chatos. You can't do that. Umar Savar and Rabbi Shimon says, "Dana behema mi behema vein dana behema mi adam." Yeah, but look what you're doing. You're learning it out from people, meaning Aaron HaKohen, when he does the avodah, no one else is allowed to be there, right? And from there we learn that the Isser is just being there. But that's talking about human beings. And we're talking about the disqualification of karbanos. So you're learning out from karbanos to human beings. That's even stranger. Okay? And the Gemara says, what's the better connection? What's the smoother connection to make? Now we get to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if you bring the blood in b'shogeg, right, I described in the Mishnah, shogeg means probably you forgot you were holding blood of the chatas, or you didn't realize you were walking into the Beis HaMikdash. Again, shogeg is always that like cloudy, like, oh, I didn't know. Right, you wake up in the morning, you think today's Sunday, and meanwhile it's Shabbos. That's shogeg, right? You're in a fog. You're in a little bit of a daze. So, but what comes out though, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is hamezid puzzle. Okay, but clearly, if you walk in with the blood, b'mezid, meaning you know you're holding the blood chatas, and you know you're going into the heichal, it's going to be disqualified. B'shekeeper, b'shelo keeper. So the Gemara now wants to know, fine. Now that we've established that, is Rabbi Yehuda in agreement with Rabbi Lazar, or is Rabbi Yehuda in agreement with Rabbi Shimon? Do you need to actually do something with the blood, or is being there just simply enough? So Am Rabbi Yehuda Mimashma Shanema Vespar Chatas Vestira Chatas Vesheravuz Tamam Lechaper Bekosh Matamalamar. So Rabbi Yirmiya is going to do some deductive work over here. I should have introduced first. What Rabbi Yirmiya is going to do basically is show us that those psukim that we quoted earlier about the Avod of Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yehuda uses those psukim for something else. So therefore, if he's going to make a connection in terms of disqualification of the outer chatas, it's probably to the human beings, right? In other words, being there is enough. Okay, so let's, right? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya. Mimashma shenamar. Look, the pasuk says, it's par chatas v'sir chatas, asher uvaz damam lechaper b'kodesh. Matam alamer v'hasoreif. Matam alamer v'hasoreif l'gufa yitzterich. The Gemara says, what do you mean, hasoreif? Right, what happens with the Seir and the Par of Yom Kippur? They burn him. Not on the Mizbeach, right? The outside. They take him outside somewhere in the Har Habayis and they burn it outside. So Elamata Malamar Chatos, Chatos Official Lalamanu, Allah Parvisir Shal Yom Kippurim Shinistrafim, Abes Hadeshin, Mitamem Abigadim. So we know that the one who actually does the burning, his clothing becomes Tameh. Okay, it's a halacha, Tumat Tahara. When you burn the chatas of Yom Kippur, so your clothing becomes tameh. Shar nisrafim minayin. Now we know all the chatas of panimios are burnt, right? Your par helam davar, the par of Yom Kippur. I'm sorry, the par of avodah zara. All of them are burnt, not on the mizbeach, in the Beis Hadeshin. How do you know that the one who burns them also is going to have tumas begadim? Tamalamer chatas chatas. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda bases it on a gzeir shava. Rabbi Meir Omer enut tzarach harei Omer ves parachatas ves tirachatas. Shein tamalamer lechaper. Ma tamalamer lechaper. Limina kol hamiskaprim shehasorfan mitame begadim. And I'm sorry. And Rabbi Meir disagrees. And Rabbi Meir uses it out through a different drasha. But right now, just putting Rabbi Meir aside and just focusing on Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda lechaper lo mashmalei. And for Rabbi Yehuda, the lechaper wasn't available for a drasha. So why wasn't it available for a drasha? My time alav misham demi baile ligzer shava. So Rabbi Yirmiyah reasons that it must be that Rabbi Yehuda didn't have the lechaper for a drasha because he already used it for a gzera shava. Oh, so the Gemara says, so you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the gzera shava, oh, I'm sorry, not like what I said earlier. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the gzera shava was made between the karbanos of Yom Kippur and the disqualification of the blood of an outer chatas being born inside. Meaning that you actually have to do kapara in the Beis HaMikdash in order to disqualify the karban. Okay, so quickly to review. So the last sugya that we did, it's funny, it's a little bit out of place over here because this is really the parak of Tarovis. But the last discussion that we did was the Mishnah regarding the twin cups of the karban chatas. If I bring one of them outside, the inside one still remains okay. If I bring one of them into the heichal, its twin becomes disqualified. It led us to a whole series of kavachomers, which the Gemara ultimately rejected. And then it led us to a just basic discussion of what is this disqualification of bringing the blood inside? Does it apply to... We talked about compartmentalizing the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We talked about Rava's Chiddush, about having intent to bring the blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and if you only bring into the Heichal, you didn't disqualify it. And then we had we finished off the discussion today about the other chatos, the chatos apnimios, where you're allowed to bring the blood inside. Is there still going to be a psul disqualification? Let's say, for example, you bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you bring it outside, you bring it back in again. And there the Gemara assumes that, yeah, even that's going to be a disqualification as well. Okay, and that is the end of the 8th parak. Tomorrow morning we begin the 9th parak of Zvachan. Hajjan al Khala Zvachim Shinis Avar. Bechanan Kashamar, Rasakash Bakhu Zaki Sofi, Khachir Mam Tar Mitsu Shinemar, and Nai Khafit Mansi Koya Dilter Aviyadir.